The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
NFL News, our Adam Schefter reported last week that Russell Wilson had not asked for a trade, but did let the Seahawks know a list of teams he would consider if they wanted to trade him. Deshaun Watson has asked for a trade from the Texans, although they are telling teams they have no plans to do so. Meanwhile, Dak is at an impasse with the Cowboys in negotiations for a long-term deal. Max, which quarterback should have the biggest beef with their team? Would you say Dak, Russ, or Deshaun?
You asking me, Molly?
Yes.
Yeah, Max, yep.
Deshaun Watson. The answer is Deshaun Watson. And please spare me his team gave him $160 million. Any team in the league, yes, including Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys, was going to give Deshaun Watson all that money because unlike Dak Prescott, he's not a good quarterback who you're hoping might become great but represents the franchise well and all that stuff. He represents the franchise well and all that stuff, but he's a great quarterback right now. And maybe he's not even in his prime yet. Deshaun Watson is exactly who you want as quarterback if you don't have Patrick Mahomes. Like in the entire league when you factor in age and everything. This is the dude you want. Every team was going to pay him. Every team. He owes no special allegiance to the Texans because they happen to be the team that drafted him. Why does Deshaun Watson want out in the first place? Because he was lied to. I mean, forget about the fact that they trade DeAndre Hopkins. He finds out about it after the fact, right? That's his dude. That's his, one of the best receivers in football. And they're boys on top of it. But then you promise him. You sit down and promise him after you fire Bill O'Brien, reportedly, you promise him that he will have input into the coaching and the GM search, right? And did he? No, it was completely ignored. In fact, the Texans, McNair, paid search firms to find candidates. And when those candidates came back, and by the way, some of them were not white, they were all rejected in favor of the guy really running the entire show right now, Jack Easterby, who was formerly the team's chaplain. That's the guy running the show, and that's the guy apparently the force behind pushing DeAndre Hopkins out the door. And Jack Easterby may have been an amazing chaplain. I don't know that that qualifies him to run an NFL team. You know, you can have a dentist you really like, but you're not going to have him, you know, do your taxes necessarily, right? So I think that Deshaun Watson is in the situation where he actually is the guy with the biggest legitimate beef. He is in a losing situation, and that's not going to turn around by the looks of things anytime soon.
Max Kellerman, believe it or not, easy answers would be Watson, obviously Dak Prescott because of the way he feels, the lack of appreciation and respect, and as well he should. But believe it or not, at this particular moment, for this day, I'm going to actually go with Russell Wilson. And I'm going to tell you why I'm going to go with Russell Wilson. Because look at all he's done and all he's accomplished. You do get to a point, and I'm very serious when I say this, Max. Excuse me. Think about what we just finished talking about in terms of black coaches. Well, now, Max, let's expand that conversation. Not that it has anything to do with it, but I'm just talking about as a black man how you feel. If you're Russell Wilson, you can reach a point where, what more can I do? I've been a model citizen. I don't get in any trouble. I represent this organization with sheer perfection. Go Hawks is the period to every sentence that comes out of my mouth during every interview. I've gone to 2 Super Bowls. I've won a Super Bowl title. I've carried this franchise on my back. You've got a very workable contract situation with me. And all I did was walk into your office and talk to you about how can we prevent me from getting hit. I've been sacked 394 times, okay, over my career. I've been hit over 1,100 times. I'm starting to feel it. Could you help me here?
And he ends up walking out of the office disgusted and feeling like he was summarily dismissed and not listened to, if you believe the reports. I haven't spoken to Pete Carroll or anybody. I don't know. I'm only going by the report, so I think it's important to say that. But what I'm saying is, if you feel that way, that's entirely different. You're Dak Prescott. You got 4 years in the league. You got a nasty ankle injury. Yeah, Jerry Jones should have took care of you, but we understand from a business perspective, with you coming off that nasty injury, if he has the mentality, let's see what you got. It ain't the worst thing in the world. You're Deshaun Watson. You just got your money last year. Evidently, whatever happened was a product of what transpired this last season, in which Bill O'Brien ultimately ended up leaving, even though we had Bill O'Brien problems with Bill O'Brien staying, even though we wondered why every year some other coach or even a GM, the former GM Rick Smith, was gone. But somehow, some way, Bill O'Brien stayed on board. You lost Bob McNair, who passed away in 2018. God rest his soul. But now his son's taking over. So there's a lot of things that transpire within the organization, and it could just be a bit haphazard. So even though he wants out and you don't blame him, in the same breath, it could be relatively new. If you're Russell Wilson, this is Pete Carroll. This is my man. This is the only coach we ever had here. How the hell do I do all of this? We supposed to have this relationship, and then all of a sudden, I find myself wanting to get the hell up out of here because I'm being treated like I'm somebody that didn't throw 40 touchdowns, that didn't pass for over 4,000 yards, that hasn't led this team for years. You do get to a point, particularly as a black man, where, excuse me, you can hold whatever you want against me, but once I honor the merits of whatever situation you put before me, and I show, despite the obstacles, that I can adapt, adjust, and ultimately overcome. When am I going to get mine? Meaning respect. And I think that's where Russ is here right now mentally, and that's why I would say he's the one with the biggest
beat. Let's talk about
this immediate moment.
I don't agree with this at all. Let's talk about the issues, possible issues. First of all, you brought up race. These are three African-American quarterbacks. We can control for race because race, you could argue, is an issue in each case. If you want to argue it's an issue for Russell Wilson, and you've alluded to that maybe with Dak and the Cowboys. You just talked about, especially for a black man in Russell Wilson's case.
I'm just talking about what you feel, but I'm not saying that race has anything to do with
Russell Wilson. But there's a racial component to it from that point of view, potentially with all three. Okay, so you could put that aside for a second when you're comparing who should have the biggest beef. Now let's talk about money. Well, then Dak, right? Because Dak has not gotten his contract. Russell Wilson's contract looks good now, but when he signed it, it was top of the market. He got to that second contract. It was huge. Same thing with Deshaun Watson. You know what the difference is here, Stephen A? Russell Wilson has been in a winning situation. Russell Wilson, you mentioned it, won a Super Bowl, got to another Super Bowl, perennially winning double digits, in position. I think if Jamal Adams had been healthy this year, they'd have had a good chance to make a little playoff run. You know, that's not Deshaun Watson. In certain respects, it's a similar situation, but Deshaun Watson's in a losing position. And even when they were winning, Stephen A., it was so much about what Deshaun Watson was doing. It was so much Deshaun. And then they have a four-win season, and it's because they make bonehead after bonehead decision in the front office, where it's not like we're looking back now and saying, you know, in retrospect, that was a bad idea. When they made the decisions, they're like, what are they doing? And then it panned out that way. So Russell Wilson, say what you will, he knows he's going to the playoffs, and he knows it in Seattle, and maybe he might make a Super Bowl. Deshaun Watson sitting there going, yo, I got no shot in this place. And what's crazy to me, Stephen A., is since he is now, he wants out no matter what, their only chance to really rebuild that thing is to trade him in at least three first-round picks and get to work.
And my response to you is you would need to listen to the question. The question is the biggest beef. I understand that he's in a situation where he can't win football games. I get that. But his beat, because you guess what? They haven't won but so much any damn way. And in the Dallas Cowboys case, they haven't won in recent memory. We get all of that. The biggest beef, in other words, I've got a problem with you. Excuse me, I have produced. Why am I having these issues, Pete Carroll? Why am I having issues
that's
with your son?
Last
there's a, I'm just saying there's something that transcends just the field of play. It might be about the field of play. But in terms of how you are treated, how you are respected, how your counsel is received, etc., that's what we're talking about here. They all got
beat. We saw it with Tom Brady.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, we saw it with Tom Brady in Tampa.
Tom Brady had that beat in New England. Of course. We can point that. They ain't the only ones. But as of right now, that's what appears to be going on with Russell Wilson. And that's what I don't think that can be ignored. If Russell Wilson can't receive the respect that he thinks he deserves, that's a problem, because that's not something that should happen.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
All-star Julius Randle scored 25 points. R.J. Barrett added 21 to lead the Knicks to a 109-90 victory over the Pistons on Sunday night. The Knicks have won three of their last four. This win puts them in fourth place in the Eastern Conference. And I also want to mention this, guys. Under Tom Thibodeau, obviously his first season there, they have this – look at Stephen A.'s face. They have the second-ranked defense in the NBA. Last year, they were 23rd, so quite the jump. And kudos to Tibbs. All right, Max, what do you think? Are the Knicks back?
Are the Knicks back? No, the Knicks being back would mean they stink, as always. The Knicks, when you think Knicks, you think stinking team. That's been the majority of their history at this point, certainly their recent history. This is something new. I'm not going to sit here and deny the truth. They're a young, exciting team. The culture seems healthy. It looks like Dolan finally got out of the way. I thought they had a must-win game, actually, against Sacramento when they hosted Sacramento, because they're two games under 500. You got to win that kind of game if you want to make the playoffs. They've done nothing but win since then. Stephen A. quickly has been a revelation. I think the Derrick Rose move was really good. You don't just want a lot of young guys like Julius Randle is shooting from distance now. That's the big change in his game. I don't think you want to make the mistake of just a lot of young guys. You need to bring in the right kind of veteran who's been through it all, who's willing to mentor and work hard. That's what Derrick Rose is. My hat's off to this young team. They're a game over 500. They're fourth place in the conference. But to say, are the Knicks back? No, this is something new. The Knicks, are the Knicks back? It means, oh, look, there goes the Knicks, the laughing stock of the league. This is new.
Hey, man, you can term it any way you want to. Back, forward, slide, and move, walk. I don't give a damn. As long as you recognize the fact that this set happening in Madison Square Garden. This set happening in New York City, Max Kellerman. Hey, listen, man, let me tell you something. You got Julius Randle. He's averaging 23-11, shooting nearly 42% from three-point range, okay? I'm pleased. I'm very, very pleased, and he's worthy of being an all-star. I'm just getting a little bit emotional right now. I want to take a moment of time to give my brother Worldwide West, William Wesley, props, the one and only Leon Rose, the president of basketball operations.
You deserve it.
Props, my man Scott Perry, the GM, props, and of course, Tom Thibodeau. And by the way, slight correction, Molly Wood. Slight correction. You know, the New York Knicks are number two defensively in terms of defensive efficiency, but they are number one defensively in terms of points allowed at 104 points per game. I'm loving what I'm seeing right now.
Point
you got quickly, you got Rose. You got quickly, you got Rose up in there. You got Randle. Oh, by the way, Mitchell Robinson's been hurt. Taj Gibson has been hurt. Because you know how a guy like Tom Thibodeau wants somebody on the interior. He wants a big boy there, block shots, grab rebounds, that kind of stuff going on. So I'm looking at a bunch of Rough Riders. I've been hearing the New York Knicks in my ear telling me about culture change, culture change, culture change. And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing hard work. We're seeing a never die attitude. We're seeing Rough Riders. They ain't soft. They're coming at it. They're battling, folks. I'm going to tell you right now, Max, do you know what impediment that I see to the New York Knicks' potential success? Are you sitting down for this? The impediment to their success is also the primary reason they've been successful thus far. That's Tom Thibodeau, my buddy Tom Thibodeau. Why do I say that?
Out?
Why do I see that? Here's the deal. No, no, not at all. But here's what I'm saying. You got Julius Randle. He played like 40, 41 minutes against Indiana. What the hell you got him playing 38 minutes last night for? Why is he in the game when they're running away against the hapless Detroit Pistons? Why would you do that? This is what Thibodeau has done in the past because he's about tomorrow, today and tomorrow, not looking ahead. This is the problem that he had in Chicago. I want him to learn from that.
Yeah, you're saying he's going to burn him out. You're afraid of that. Yeah, he's very intense.
You got to take your foot off the gas just a little bit. I know they're young. I know they got their fresh legs, but don't run them into the ground like that. He's got to be careful. Nerlens Noel, I know he doesn't play much, but damn, you got him 40, 41 minutes, all of that other stuff, back-to-back night, stuff like that. He's got to be careful.
But he plays.
But other than that, Max, they're only four games back of the Brooklyn Nets. Hey, Max, I was watching the numbers the other day. Do you know that if the playoffs began, that it would have been the Knicks against the Nets? But that's when the Knicks were the seventh seed. See, they're number four now.
Yeah, here's the thing.
They'd get the fifth seed, and they'd host a playoff series.
I got three things to say about this.
I love it.
What's crazy to me is nationally, the Nets are the story. People outside New York don't care about the Knicks. They care about the Nets. We lead the show with the Nets, never the Knicks. But inside New York, In terms of locally, the Knicks still got it. People get more excited, which brings me to my second point. Stephen A., throughout this pandemic, there's been a lot missed. You know, the enemy is the perfect of the good. We're just happy to have sports. If you can't have crowds, you can't have crowds. And I'm not saying, oh, they should. I'm just saying, could you imagine Madison Square Garden at capacity for this young team? It really is a shame that they don't really get that right now, because Madison Square Garden, when they have a team they can get behind, when New York does, because of effort especially and intensity, when you know these young guys are working hard and laying it all out there, New York respects that in a different way. It is a shame that that's not happening in front of a raucous, you know, rocking Madison
Square
Garden.
Start with the negativity. Relax. Well,
and thirdly, hey, and thirdly, I have to say,
the crowd will be
hold
there.
On, hold on.
Come playoff
say,
time. They'll be
I have
there.
To say, I watched the Knicks game, the whole thing, from beginning to end. You know how long it's been since I watched the whole thing? I could sit through the whole thing. I couldn't believe it, but I did. They are a fun team to watch.
They are going at it. They're competing. And listen, when you defend, you have a chance. When you defend, you have a chance. And the one thing they do is defend. And once Mitchell Robinson comes back, watch even more. I'm telling you.
Oh,
I'm telling you right
it.
Now.
You know when KD and James Harden and Kyrie are all playing? You're not talking about no Knicks.
Listen, let me ask you this question. If the New York Knicks get out of the first round, if they win a first round series, because if the playoffs started today, they'd play Miami, who's on their own street. You see how I turned the Miami Heat around? See how I turned them around? I called them out. They've been undefeated ever since. See what I did for the Miami Heat?
That's true. It may be correlation, not causation. But
the Knicks would play the Miami Heat in the first round. Could you imagine if the New York Knicks ended up in the second round and they had to go up against the Brooklyn Nets? The Brooklyn Nets would have all the pressure. The Knicks would be playing with house money. They'd have nothing to lose.
Hey, real quick, Molly, let me say this. You know why the Knicks, man, I was laughing at you guys thinking they were going to get KD? Because players don't go to bad cultures. The reason the Nets got those guys is the culture was good. This Knicks team, if they keep doing this, the message they're going to send to potential free agents is it's a good place to play. And then New York sells itself. This could be the first time ever, really, that a top flight free agent eventually signs with the Knicks. It's possible.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. On Thursday, AC Milan star Zlatan Ibrahimovic criticized LeBron and other star athletes, saying it was a mistake and doesn't look good when athletes or other famous people get involved in politics. Here's LeBron James responding to those comments.
He was the same guy who said when he was back in Sweden, talking about the same things, because his last name wasn't a certain last name, that he felt like it was some racism going on when he was out on the pitch. I speak from a very educated mind. I'm kind of the wrong guy to actually go at, because I do my homework. You know, I would never shut up about things that's wrong. I preach about my people, and I preach about, you know, equality, social injustice, racism, systematic voting, voter suppression, things that go on in our community.
All right, Big Perk joining us now for this discussion. Kendrick, great to have you. Stephen A., I'm going to start with you. Do you like, love, or hate LeBron's rebuttal to Zlatan?
I like it. I don't love it. And the reason why I don't love it is that I thought LeBron should have went at him harder. I love the fact that LeBron pointed out his hypocrisy, how this was the same guy who did speak about his name and you know, and racist connotations that came along with it, and how he was being prejudiced against in the past. But yet when it came to LeBron James and others, he's speaking about how, you know, folks need to speak to sports. I think that what he was saying, he should have been more specific. He was basically trying to say the black athlete should stick to sports. That's how I took it. And essentially, what are you meaning by that? Because you have a lot of people in this world who look at black men and believe, instead of showing them the deference and respect that they've earned and they deserve and giving them major, major props for that, as opposed to doing that, they feel like these athletes should be appreciative and should never feel entitled because of what they've earned. So you do have a lot of folks out in this world that look at black men who are particularly influential and incredibly powerful, and they feel they should stay in a certain place. They should be more appreciative as opposed to feeling deserving and things of that nature. And I think this shows that, you know, the kind of prejudice that we're accustomed to experiencing as black men, it doesn't just exist in America. I've had the fortune of, particularly with Stephen A.'s world, of interviewing several people on my show from different other parts of this world. And they talk about how the black experience itself is the black experience. It ain't just in America. It's the world over. And so to me, this is the latest example of that. And I loved how LeBron came back and responded. But I also thought that LeBron was very classy and far too nice compared to what he could have been by an individual that was basically not only telling him to just shut up and play basketball, but he was also an individual that was telling him, you shouldn't be the one doing it, but evidently I could, because when I had an issue, I certainly brought it up, and it didn't have anything to do with the field of play. So it's okay for me to speak on things, but you should know your place. That's how I took it. I think that's how LeBron James took it. And LeBron handled it with the deference, the class, the decorum that obviously nobody can argue with. I'm just saying, if it were me, I'd have been a hell of a lot harsher.
I love LeBron James's response. You like it, Stephen A., because you think he could have gone harder at Zlatan. I love LeBron's response, precisely because he didn't. Because I look, Zlatan's entitled to his opinion, even if we think it's wrongheaded. Now, Stephen A., if you read into it and say, what are you really saying? I get it. But actually, LeBron's measured response, just stating the facts, I think was the most effective possible response. And look what he said. It's on the bottom of the screen. There's no way I would ever just stick to sports. The operative word is because I understand this platform and how powerful my voice is. In other words, if you want to talk about a moral responsibility, if you are a member of an oppressed group historically, then LeBron feels it. That's great. That's great that he responded the way he did. He is not making ad hominem attacks at Zlatan, although he points out, hey, look, you were saying kind of similar stuff where you're from, right? Like you were saying, hey, you know, my last name, whatever else, led to behavior toward me that I didn't like. And what's curious, by the way, LeBron could have gone on. I've heard interviews where, one interview in particular, where Zlatan was asked about Muhammad Ali. And immediately, he's like playing word association, immediately he says, the best, the greatest, my idol. And Zlatan is, you know, loud and he celebrates himself the way Ali did. But if Ali's your idol, it's not just because he bragged a lot. It's because Ali stood up for what he believed in and stood for his people and oppression and oppressed groups everywhere, really, by the end of his career. So it is curious that Zlatan has that point of view about Muhammad Ali, had that point of view about himself in Europe, but then has this point of view about LeBron. And LeBron's response to me is pitch perfect. I don't think it could be any better. No ad hominem attack, points out a hypocrisy, says, hey, wait a minute, why is that okay for you but not okay for me? And most importantly, reinforces the idea that he feels a responsibility to do it. Not just that whether, well, I can do it or I should just stay in my lane. No. LeBron saying, I have a responsibility given my platform. Pitch perfect, I have to say, as usual by LeBron.
No, Max, I have to disagree, and that's nonsense. Ain't nothing was pitch perfect about that response. And matter of fact, I hated the response that LeBron James gave. And here's why. He should have addressed Zlatan or whatever his name is, like the numbers on the house, and should have made him smell his cologne in that response. And by me saying that, because it's not about politics. It's not that LeBron James speaks out about politics. He's speaking out about humanity. All right, this is what we're talking about, humanity. What's going on in the black community these days? That's what LeBron James stands for. Growing up in Akron, Ohio, coming up really without a father figure in his life, knowing why the purpose why he opened up our Promise School and wanted to provide such great people to help these kids in these black communities so they could get knowledge, so they could get up out of those communities and be something in life. Because, you know, we go through so much that it get overlooked, okay? And what I'm not about to sit up here and stand for is no athlete or no other person, especially from another country, tell one of our powerful, iconic figures how to speak up and how to be a black man in America and be a leader in America. I'm not about to tolerate it. And LeBron should have addressed him like the numbers on the house, like I said before, because look, we deal with so much oppression for over 400 plus years. You talk about things to nature where father figures are incarcerated for whatever reason and getting football numbers where they're not there in their children's lives nowadays. And now they need powerful, iconic figures like LeBron James, Russell Westbrook, Dwayne Wade, Maya Moore, all these beautiful athletes that have been standing on the front line to make sure that these kids get the best opportunity that others are getting around the world. So I don't want to hear that, man. At the end of the day, to me, I thought it was nonsense for him to lash out at LeBron. I thought he was clout chasing, and LeBron took it too lightly on him.
I agree with you. I think LeBron took it too lightly on him. But, Max, to get back to what you're saying, you know, Zlatan and how he tried to approach the matter, listen, he was wrong off the bat. because nobody should, and anybody that has a voice, particularly a voice as intelligent and as even keel and as thoughtful as LeBron James, should speak out on what the hell he wants to speak out about, because he's not coming from a perspective of ignorance and being misinformed or ill-informed about anything. That's number one. But number two, and more importantly, where this elevates the conversation to another level, is that this guy, this soccer player, okay, he spoke out when he felt like speaking out in terms of what his name connotated and how he felt he was treated because of it. He spoke out. So to me, it really, really resonated because, oh, so it's okay for you to speak when you want to. But this brother right here, who is one of the most accomplished athletes in American history and who's been an activist in some respects and has been well known and it's been well documented what LeBron is as a businessman, what his contributions have been to his community and beyond, what his contribution has been to America and beyond. Oh, excuse me. He's the one that you're going to sit up there and say, oh, excuse me, him nor any of these athletes, they shouldn't be speaking out. They should just be quiet and play. When you didn't do it, it says to me you were saying, listen, you're a black man. You should be appreciative of what you have. Shut the hell up and go on about your business and just play. That to me is how I took what he said. And I don't think a tepid response was called for in that regard. I think it needed to be more for. I'm not complaining about LeBron. Don't get me wrong. Everybody's got to be themselves. Please don't get me wrong. I'm just saying if it were me, I'd have went all up in that brother. I would have been making international headlines today. I directed think that's actually, at that dude for taking that position.
Look, yes, I think you know me, and if I see injustice and we've done it on this show, I'll go at people. So I agree there is a time for that. I think in this case, Zlatan is making a slightly different point than you think he's making. And while you may disagree with it, if you react immediately and emotionally to it, you'll never have the conversation. And this is what he's saying. What he said specifically is that people should stay in their lane. In this case, he was talking about politics specifically. Now, there's a huge overlap between social justice issues and politics, obviously. But they're not exactly the same thing. And while I agree with both of you, I think all three of us agree that how can you really stay out of politics, particularly in this country? There's enormous overlap, and especially in this last election year and what's gone on in this country over the last 4 years in particular. How do you stay out of politics and address these social issues? I don't know that Zlatan was talking about not touching social issues. He was talking about not touching politics. He is wrongheaded, I believe, for thinking, because in fact, in that same interview that I saw where he talked about Ali, he said he was asked about a certain political figure that we talked a lot about in the last 4 years, and he said what his comment was nothing. In other words, if you ask him about a social issue, maybe he'll comment. But if you ask him about a political figure or politics specifically, he won't. We all may say that's wrongheaded. Here's why. In fact, no, you're wrong about LeBron James. Here's why. And that's what LeBron did. LeBron essentially addressed the point. But if you immediately have the knee-jerk angry reaction and don't actually listen to what was said and respond, then we just have a lot of shouting. Then we can be righteously indignant because there's plenty to be indignant about. But in fact, he was actually saying, you're conflating social issues and politics. My response to him is, what do you mean conflating? Oftentimes, there's such an overlap, they're basically the same. And LeBron must discuss politics at times if he wants to address social issues.
Well, Max, politics has to come into play when we talk about in social justice, because the only way that we're going to have change is by getting certain people in office to make change, right? That's the only way we're going to stop having cops kneel on black folks' necks for 8 minutes. That's the only way we're going to stop having black folks being shot in the back by police officers is by forming groups like More Than a Vote. So politics do come into play when it comes to a certain point of it. So, but my thing is this. You cannot, I don't care who you is, whether you think it's politics or it's social justice, if somebody is fighting for the right cause and somebody is being the voice for so many that can't speak out and can't be heard, and they're doing a great job in the community and being a powerful leader, I don't care who you are. You cannot tell that person to be quiet and shut up and dribble, because that's basically what he was saying to LeBron James. So whether LeBron James talk about politics or involved in politics and social justice, whatever the case may be, he's doing the right thing. Well, and for a guy that does not even live in the United States of America, he cannot tell a black man how to be a black man in America, period.
Max Kellerman, let me get back to what you were saying a little bit earlier. A couple of points that needed to be addressed. Number one, I'm not shouting now, so let's be very, very clear about that. Nobody's shouting now. Number two, when you talk about drawing a line between politics and social issues, my comeback to that, Max Kellerman, is that I find it very, very interesting that those who disseminate messages towards other people want to dictate how it's received and responded to. That's one of the biggest problems that we have that exist in this nation. People want to run their mouths and speak and talk and say things, but then they want to complain at the same time about how it's received when you're talking about the other person. And what I'm saying is that I get your point about listening to the person and making sure you understand directly where they're coming from. But I would make an argument to you. You don't know definitively that that's where he was coming from. You can deduce it based on what he's saying, and you could reach that conclusion, but you don't know definitively. So your interpretation of what he was trying to say may not be wrong, but neither might not be the case with Kendrick. I'm getting to it. My point to you is that you can't definitively say it, neither can I. And so now it comes back to who's the offended party. You have this black athlete who is without question a iconic figure with global cachet. And you're saying to him, you don't need to be speaking. Just play and ignore what's transpiring in your community. Ignore what's transpiring in your nation. While at the same time, you made sure to highlight what you wanted to highlight that transcended beyond the field of play, Zlatan. That's what you did. So your words weren't consistent. They were applicable to you, but they shouldn't be applicable to LeBron James, which is somebody where somebody like myself and Kendrick Perkins come in and we say, wait a damn minute, who the hell you think you are? Because there's no consistency. Now, if you took what he said in a vacuum, Max, and you never took into account what he did for himself, you have a stronger point.
But
when you take into account what he did for himself and how you got a problem if LeBron James does it for himself, there's an inconsistency there, and it's wrong. It's not wrong for us to deduce why that might be.
Okay, I actually took notes on what you said because you made several points. I want to respond to them. I'll try to do it quickly.
Sure.
Number one, you're right. I don't know definitively. That's why you find out. You ask questions. You find out the follow-up, and you get more definitive answers. And I think if what you feel is that righteous indignation and respond emotionally, you won't ask the questions. You won't find out. I think we're all the poorer for it, number one. Number two, LeBron is the offended party here. And LeBron responded the way he felt was appropriate. And LeBron's sense of how to publicly respond to people is as among the best I've ever seen. And I think that it was quite effective in this case. Number three, Zlatan, I agree with you guys that if this is his answer, look, I stayed out of politics. I mentioned social prejudices and stuff, but I stayed out of politics. And that's what I'm saying to LeBron or whoever else. Stay out of politics. That's a different field. That's different than saying, hey, I feel discriminated against in this community. That's kind of social activism versus politics. And I think reasonable people would tell him, look, you really can't do that. It's really not possible to genuinely try to respond to these issues, particularly Kendrick Perkins, as you mentioned, in this country, particularly around issues that affect African Americans, and not get into politics. But already now we're having a conversation about it. And by the way, if he turns out to be hard-headed and wrong-headed and stubborn and insulting about it, well, okay, then you may respond in kind, but I don't think we're there yet. He simply said he's into politics. I stay out of politics. He should too. That's basically what he said. I disagree, but I don't think he needs to be castigated publicly for it.
Yeah, but Max, whether it's politics and social justice, racism, whatever the case may be, the world that we live in, especially in our country right now, You can't tell nobody what the hell to say or how to speak on any damn thing, because if we have a powerful leader like LeBron James that's speaking out for so many and trying to get what trying to do and get what's right and get make sure that everybody have civil rights, whether that's voter suppression, whether that's making sure kids make it out of the hood, whether that's making sure that kids be able to see their father again because they're sentencing for a drug epidemic was handed out in football numbers. It don't matter what it is he's speaking out about. The world that we living in, you should be able to speak out on whatever the hell you want to. Now, I would never speak out on politics because I'm not educated enough to do that. But LeBron James is educated. He's very educated to speak on any level. And I think as a leader and what he has shown us throughout his career, he has the right to speak out on whatever the hell he feel like it. And who is this guy in a whole nother country to tell his African-American brother what he can and cannot speak on? That's the problem I have.
You're right, just a dude with an opinion, and it's wrong-headed.
Yeah, but we're
really
responding.
Hold on.
What we're doing, Max, is we're responding to LeBron's response to it all.
Yep.
And we're not chastising LeBron in any way. What we're saying is that it transcends just LeBron. It speaks to blackness as well, because we don't believe that those kind of words would have been articulated to somebody of a different hue, from a different culture. We don't believe that. We don't believe that Tom Brady would have ever been told to shut up and play football, or Drew Brees, or Larry Bird, or somebody. We believe those kind of things are reserved for us, because on far too many occasions, particularly when it comes to black excellence, people are more apt to believe that we should feel privileged, right. We should feel lucky, yeah. And yeah. Grateful as opposed right. to individuals who actually earned the positions that we are in. That's why you see Kendrick Perkins and myself responding the way that we responded, because we've seen that kind of language emanating from people who don't look like us on many occasions.
I get it,
as
and
I'm sure
you
do.
I no doubt, and I feel. Likewise, my point is here, think about LeBron's response. He said, I'm never going to just stick to sports. I'm educated on these issues. I also found out about you. You spoke on a similar issue, and I have essentially a moral responsibility given my platform. That's right. That's the right message to get across. Right. Not just
discussion, but Max,
yeah, go ahead.
You're a different race than Stephen A. and Kendrick, so you might just feel differently just based on that alone, that you could never walk in their shoes, so fully understand. So even if you think it's right, they might not believe it's right. Because, again,
I feel righteous
the racial difference
Molly,
right there.
Molly, I feel righteous in.
But you and I will never know what it's like to be black. We'll never know. We'll never know what that experience is like. As much as we try, we will not. All right, let's leave it there, and let's go on the court, fellas. When we come back, the Nets had their 8-game winning streak. That was snapped by the Mavericks on Saturday night. James Harden scoring 29 points in a losing effort, but he was playing without the help of Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. Max, what do you think's the biggest concern for the Nets right now?
Health. If these three just get on the court all together, you know, it's not even the defense anymore. Their defense came along so fast, it's absurd. They went from the worst ever to fairly decent, like in a week. In a blink of an eye, and they're destroying the league without KD. KD comes back, they stay healthy. The only team in the East, maybe the Sixers can give them some burn or some run, and in the West, maybe the Lakers, maybe the Jazz, but they're close to already being favorites to win the whole thing.
Well, you know how I feel about it. I think that Brooklyn's going to be the team to beat unless a healthy Anthony Davis comes back 100%. I think the Brooklyn Nets are going to be the team to beat. That's just the way I'm at. But in terms of what my biggest concern is right now, I'm going to say it's Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving's missing 11 games. I understand they sat him out, whatever. Why are you sitting down? I see James Harden out there all the time. James Harden, say what you want. Even when, you know, I forgot who it was talking about. He put on a fat suit or whatever the case would be. His first game in Houston, he had dropped 44, you know, before he was ultimately traded. James Harden is a dude, night in, night out, he is showing up to play. And I guess what I'm thinking about is Kyrie Irving
He signed last year. He goes to Brooklyn. The first year there, you're without Kevin Durant. He played 20 games. We understand he got injured. He played 20 games. He comes back this year. You know, he needs a break. He needs a sabbatical. Okay, he's gone for a few games, missed 7 or 8 games. You know, overall now it's 11 games. I'm just saying, night in, night out, James Harden is there. Kyrie needs to be on the court as much as he can possibly be on the court to continue to showcase his greatness and to develop and build upon that chemistry with James Harden, because it's going to be necessary once the playoffs roll around. We understand why KD is out. We totally get that. I do not get, I understand he ain't 100%, I guess, because his shoulder, whatever. I just missing 11 games or whatever. I don't like when I see Kyrie Irving missing games because I don't think it's necessary. He should be out there.
I agree. I agree with both of y'all points, but I am going to say this. I'm a little concerned about Kevin Durant and his health. When you talk about him coming back from the Achilles injury, now he has a hamstring injury. I'm just worried about him making sure that he get enough repetition, making sure that his body is going to be able to hold up the whole season, especially in playoff time. And by doing that, he's got to be on the court. And I know you can't rush him back, and you got to be very, very cautious. But him having his hamstring injury just goes to show me one thing in particular, that he was putting a lot of pressure elsewhere to really protect the Achilles. So I'm concerned about KD, not overly concerned, but I do have some concerns, and I want to see KD back where he's back on the court, get those quality repetitions back so that he could have that load, be able to maintain that load for us on his leg. So that's my concern.
And the reason why I would throw Kyrie above Kevin Durant, KP, is because knowing Kevin Durant is out, you should want to be on the court with Harden even more.
Mm-hmm.
Why leave Harden hanging? Be out there with him.
I think we're approaching the All-Star break, and these guys have their eyes on the prize, and they're getting a little extra rest right now.
I understand that.
I think they got the long haul in mind.
But remember, Kyrie took a break prior to that.
Yep.
Very early in the season.
But as long as he plays like he's been playing, he could take breaks. Like, they've been on
superstar,
fire.
No doubt. But you got to be on the court. Otherwise,
it's called load management, Stephen A. I thought you loved that. I thought Max taught you about load management. All right, guys, we'll see you all tomorrow. Great show. Really strong stuff to end it. Bye.